three main things. The first is what's called flip-flopping, whereby people alternated between the high and low pay bands throughout their career. The second was called overtaking, which is where some of the algorithms ensured that people, when they were promoted, overtook more senior colleagues. And the third was something called overlap, which was where certain pay ranges overlapped with the pay range immediately above them. The detail of that, you know, is quite well known, but I think the point is that the feedback from AFPRB over many years is that many other ranks were extremely dissatisfied with the system, and NEMPAY helps us to address that.
So, having addressed that, how will the new model be rolled out and over what sort of time span?
Well, the new model will be rolled out from the 1st of April, and that means that the first pay packets will come in at the end of April, in which NEMPAY is included.
Who will this affect? Because it isn't everyone, is it?
No, it isn't. It will, in broad order, affect all regular and reserve personnel up to and including the rank of brigadier. Those who won't be affected are those people who are paid on specialist pay spines. And, for example, they include professional aviators, medical and dental officers, chaplains and vets and so forth.
Now, perhaps the most unenviable part of this interview for you is trying to make something that's extremely complicated sound as simple as possible. How will it work?
The number of increment levels will reduce, and the most noticeable change is that on promotion, people will stay on the same increment level for 2 years. But we do retain increment levels, which is a significant plus for us. The second major change is that other ranks will be paid according to what trade supplement they're in for a small part of their pay. Their base pay, which includes about 90% of people's pay, will remain as it is. But a small part, approximately 10%, will be paid according to a trade supplement. And over the last 2 years, there's been a very rigorous process which has placed all trades in the Army into one of four groups. And the final 10% of people's pay will be decided according to which trade group they're in.
The Secretary of State said that no service personnel will take a pay cut on transition to the new model. Can we read into that that some will at some stage, and if so, who and when?
Well, I think so. The Secretary of State is quite right. And so there's a very rigorous process of what's called pay protection, which means that for at least 3 years, nobody will take a pay cut. And in those 3 years, we expect that most people's seniority will catch up with their NEMPAY, and they will then progress on. But that's something which we will review annually to see whether we need to extend it.
Because there have been suggestions that people won't lose out through the transition, but they could lose out over the longer term. Is that fair, or how would you respond to that?
Well, I think it's very difficult to give an answer like that because, of course, each individual with their individual circumstances is different. What I can say is that nobody will take a pay cut on transition. I think it's also important to realise that this is not a savings measure. Defence has not saved any money. The total value of the armed forces pay bill remains the same. It's just been reprofiled.
Can I push you a little bit on that longer term argument? Because it sounds as though you're in doubt as to whether or not people will or won't lose out in the longer term.
No, so nobody will take a pay cut. It is impossible for me, with 82,000 members of the Army, for me to tell you who may or may not lose out over the course of a career, because each individual's pay journey is different. But over the course of a career, people's pay will be more predictable, it will be fair, and nobody will take a pay cut.
You'll know as well as anyone that the introduction of any new scheme will prove contentious to some, allowing for what we've just been talking about. What areas of this one do you see as providing the most likelihood for that contention?
Well, I think it's for people who are unsatisfied with which trade supplement they're put into. And what I would say to them is that this was the result of 18 months of extremely hard work, which included talking to people in each trade supplement, detailed interviews, observing them at work, considering the full range of what people do. And it was then independently assessed by people both in the Army and outside. And it was rigorous, it was done over time, and it is assessed to be entirely transparent and fair.
That's an interesting point, because some of the bands, or some of the trades in Band 1, which is the lowest paid band, they require greater academic qualifications than some of those above them. How do you arrive at that positioning in those cases?
Well, the range of factors which place people into pay bands is not just academic qualifications. It's a range of things such as technical aptitude, responsibility, use of resources, amongst others. And so there is a very long list of factors which determines which pay band and which trade falls into each of the supplements, not just academic qualifications.
This is complicated, as we said earlier, and most people want to know, how does this affect me specifically? Where can they get that sort of information from?
Well, the first thing is that the chain of command have been directed to brief their units in detail. And we have put out a detailed briefing pack, which includes a PowerPoint presentation, which explains both the theory behind it and then uses some examples. There's a range of briefing material, including an army briefing note. There's a defense internet brief, and there are articles on the intranet and the internet. If people have further questions, having seen all those products, then they should approach their unit pay and administrative staff and their chain of command to answer any questions.
Just finally, Brigadier, there is an important piece of admin that I know you're keen to stress that people need to undertake themselves for this to work, isn't there?
Yes, please. We need everybody to check their pay data and their pay information on their pay statements so that items such as their seniority of their rank and their current trade are correct, because it's from these details that the new pay data for NEM will be migrated across on the 1st of April. And we have the ability to reduce the number of small administrative niggles that take place after the introduction of pay if we get those details right now.